it is good to be with you this morning. And even though I always mean that when I say it, I really mean it today. See, I missed last Sunday's worship. I don't like that. Not for a conference or a trip or vacation. I was sick. Really sick. I caught a cold early last week that I just couldn't shake. And by Sunday evening, honestly, I felt like I couldn't breathe. Turns out, I had pneumonia. Thanks be to God, access to good health care, and a solid round of antibiotics, I am on the upswing. Praise God. Now, if you ask Sabra, I hope most of you know Sabra. If you don't, Sabra's our administrative assistant here at Calvary. She's at the front desk of the office during the week. If you ask Sabra what typically happens around Thursday morning of every week, especially my weeks to preach, it's that she sends me a gentle reminder email that I really need to get my sermon title into her. With a mere 72 hours before sermon time and just hours before she's trying to print the bulletin, let's just say I keep it pretty tight most weeks. But for whatever reason, I sent this sermon title for this Sunday nearly 2 weeks before the sermon. Days before I'd even gotten really sick. Sometimes the body just knows. So today, on this final Sunday of our stewardship emphasis for the year, on this Sunday smack in the middle of our Ordinary Time series, I want us to talk a little bit about a faith that makes us well. Here I was assessing whether I'd even be able to be up here this morning, and my sermon title was already preaching to me. You know, we usually never get their names. I mean the names of the people that Jesus heals. It's pretty rare, but this morning we get to say his name. Bartimaeus. Son of Timaeus. A blind beggar. And we even get a brief conversation between he and Jesus. First, Bartimaeus cries out, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Now, stop us right there, just to note that this man, this son of Timaeus, calls Jesus a son too. Son of David. Bartimaeus calls out Bar David, if you will. Kind of like he's putting the two of them on equal, unexpectedly equal ground. Anyway, he cries out, "Jesus, Bar David, son of David, have mercy on me." Now, if you grew up in an especially liturgical or perhaps high church setting, is there anything about that statement that makes you feel like you're holding back a sneeze? Is there any way you'd like to end that statement? "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me, a sinner," perhaps? We'll get back to that in a minute. So he finally gets Jesus' attention, throws off his cloak, quite a radical thing for an ancient Near Eastern man to do, by the way. So there's many strange things happening in this very short story. And Jesus says to him, "Now what is it that you want me to do for you?" He says, "Let me see again." And then Jesus responds, "Go, your faith has made you well." There are so many things Jesus could have said to Bartimaeus while healing him of his physical blindness. He could have said, "My Father in heaven hears your prayer and has healed you, son of Timaeus." He could have said, in reference to his very first sermon, when he rolled Isaiah's scroll and read from it, remember in Luke's gospel? Today I give sight to the blind. Go in peace, Bartimaeus. He could have said, all right, put this mud over your eyes. Wait like 5 minutes. Let me spit on it. Let's see where we are then. Your faith has made you well. Your faith has made you well. All right, shout out to my Greek New Testament professor, Lori Barron. Dr. Barron, I hope I do right by you. If I don't, it is definitely not your fault. The verb for has made you well is sozo, which really holds multiple meanings in Greek. The sentence could be translated, your faith has saved you, or your faith has made you whole. Pastor Sally, I think you've preached once or twice from this pulpit about how salvation for you isn't any one thing, like physical wellness or mental wellness or spiritual wellness, but it's the fullness of all those things, a wholeness of wellness, if you will. But here's the part I really want us to pay attention to, if, again, you'll indulge me. The Greek verb tense in this passage, I think, is the perfect active indicative. Ooh, y'all got real excited about that. Okay, so no need to break all that down. But basically, this tense indicates something that has happened in the past that is still affecting the present. Something that has happened in the past that is still affecting the present. But Bartimaeus is still physically blind, isn't he? It's not until after Jesus makes this statement, your faith has made you well, that Bartimaeus is healed from his physical blindness. So that's a quandary, right? Maybe. Your faith has made you well. This action in the past is already affecting the present, but he still can't physically see yet. Maybe I'm misreading this. Maybe I'm pushing too hard here. I don't know. But I can't help but be curious about this moment. See, neither this man, Bartimaeus, nor Jesus say exactly what we might expect them to say. Neither of them say the things that their environments or conditions or social circles would have expected them to say. Bartimaeus should have said, have mercy on me, a sinner. Because in an ancient Near Eastern context, his blindness would have been understood as a result of his sinfulness or the sinfulness of his parents, at least. Think about the blind man in John's gospel. What's the first questions the disciples ask? Who sinned? This man or his parents? Because somebody sinned. It's like Bartimaeus is refusing his community's theological trap. Refusing to say that his blindness is a result of his failure. And it's like Jesus catches that and chooses to refuse the same theological trap too. He's drawn to Bartimaeus' self-awareness, honesty, clarity, sense of thriving. And so he says, your faith has already made you well, but I'd be honored to help you physically see, because it would help others see what you already see about yourself. It would help them see that nothing separates you from God's love and abundance and goodness, that this is not your fault, that you have been and are and will continue being good in God's sight. But you already know that, don't you, Bartimaeus? But let's you and me, let's go ahead. Let's go ahead and show the world that your faith has made you well. Your ability to see yourself as already whole is what makes you whole. Your ability to refuse your communities, your countries, even your family's theological traps are what make you as clear-eyed and full-hearted as anyone I know, Bartimaeus. This is why when we ask our trans friends, what can we do for you? And they say, give us access to healthcare that makes it easier for gender reassignment surgery. We say, great. We can help make that happen. We can vote for elected officials who get it. We can teach our children about the beauty God has created by giving us a spectrum of genders. We can join with you in the process of your wholeness and trust you to tell us what that most fully involves. This is why when we ask our Black friends, what can we do for you? And they say, believe us when we say that this country's history affects our daily lived reality and participate in changing systems that weren't ever built with our well-being in mind. We say, yes, we believe you. Yes, we'll dismantle with you. Yes, we'll rebuild something new together and let you lead the way. This is why when beautiful people asking for the space to be whole take off their cloaks, offer their vulnerability, and name what they need, we can choose to follow Jesus' example and not the crowds. Not because we're magic healers, but because we are participants in God's good work of wholeness making within us and around us. We can reject the theological traps set before us that keep calling people and places inadequate or failing or sinful or just plain not enough. And instead, we can speak and live in the present, past, in the perfect, active, indicative. We can say our faith, who we are today, right now, has already made us well. But if we name what we need together, if we name our dreams together, if we claim what's already true about us so that the world can see what we already see, well, that means we are then participating in our salvation and wholeness. So what does this mean for us on this Pledge Sunday? What does this mean for us as a church as we look to the coming year? Recently on our evening walk, Sally has been asking me a question that has kept us both churning and wondering. What does it look like to catch Calvary thriving? What does it look like to catch Calvary thriving? In other words, when we're not trying to evaluate or assess, when we're not trying to build new programming or deal with our sustainability questions or manage outside perceptions of who we are or frankly save, so to speak, the church, what is it about us that has already saved us? That is already saving us? And how does the stuff that already makes us who we are give us the freedom to keep claiming and imagining who we might become? What does it look like to catch us when our faith has made us well? When do I catch Calvary thriving? Well, when some of our children realize that they could use a little more practice with their reading comprehension and writing skills, decide to start a writing club of their own accord after church on Sundays to help each other out. You want to get involved in that? That's what that long pledge list was for. You can still edit it. When our older youth say that they want to learn more about Black and Latin American liberation theology, and their teachers say, okay, let's do it. You want to get involved in that? You get the idea? When our theology on draft cohort realizes that they have a lot to learn about the stories and political reality and theology that shaped the lives of our Salvadoran members, so they start delving into the life and writings of Oscar Romero. You catching the theme here? You want to get involved? Pledge card. Or just sign up. When one of our kids has a birthday party and I end up spending the afternoon in the Potomac River celebrating the sunshine with plenty of carne asada to sustain me. When you stumble through lyrics and languages you don't know, but your ear-to-ear smile tells me that you know the faith being formed in you here is making you well. When you choose to give practical resources to meet practical needs here and around you. When you march. When you do behind-the-scenes stuff, when you show up, when your decisions in the voting booth are affected by your belief in the gospel of liberation, when you continue to invest in and care about your homeland in Central America, even if you may never return, I catch Calvary thriving every day, everywhere I look. And nothing gives me greater joy than to keep catching it, to keep catching you thriving, seeing the ways that your faith is making you well, reclaiming a gospel that the world is desperate for at such a time as this. It's so radical, so subversive, so simple to believe that our faith has already made us well. That who we are already is good. That Jesus has already blessed us and at the same time is ready to listen to our deepest longings and needs and keep answering our call to wholeness. No theological traps here. Our faith has already made us well. Now for the hard work. To live like we actually believe it.